We received a lot of feedback about the previous version of our JavaScript SDK for Azure Cosmos DB. We took the feedback and completely redesigned the SDK to improve the developer experience. Chris Anderson is here to show us how much easier it is to work with Azure Cosmos DB from JavaScript today on Azure Friday. Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here with another episode of Azure Friday. So Chris, show me how the SDK has been improved for using Azure Cosmos DB from JavaScript.
Yes, I mean, one of the things we really wanted to improve was we wanted to make it modern. It was still using callbacks for everything, no promises anywhere. We wanted to really embrace, you know, fully open source. So now everything is open source. We're doing all of our PRs on GitHub. So you can actually see we've got 7 outstanding things we've got to track here. We have a project for actually tracking all of our work. So you can actually see what our priority of work is and
along
those lines. So we're really trying to make sure everything happens in the open and we can be very collaborative.
Great. And you said modern. So give me some examples of what modern JavaScript looks like today.
Yeah. So if we scroll down here, for anyone who's used to like the old SDK, we wouldn't have been able to fit a sample on a single zoomed in screen. Here I've got the sample all showing in one screen. And you can see here we're using the new Azure, at Azure namespace and NPM, so you can trust that this package is us and you know, some friendly person out there publishing a package with a similar sounding name. All the at Azure NPM modules out there, you can trust that they're Microsoft because I control the keys for publishing.
Awesome.
Inside of here, you know, kind of made the Cosmos client a lot simpler to understand. Previously, it was like lots of different arguments you had to append.
Okay.
And now we're actually just going ahead and taking in a giant property bag of objects.
Okay.
And there you can actually use discovery. Like if you're using TypeScript, you can go ahead and control space and you get all of your options presented to you for what options you can have.
All right, perfect.
And then the other nice thing we've got here is, of course, we've got promises. So we can go ahead and use async await inside of, you know, newer JavaScript and TypeScript environments.
Okay.
And then we've actually got the ability to, we return a response type that has lots of different properties on it. So we're actually using object deconstruction in order to go through there and rip out the specific objects we want to.
So this syntax here that you're highlighting right now is saying, I only want you to pull the container property from what got returned and just give me that.
Exactly.
And what about this one here with the colon? Are you saying I only want the database but map it to the variable called DB?
Exactly.
Got it. So, wow, cool. Because I have a lot of code that gets this big object back and then I'm pulling out the properties that I care about and like pretty much throwing away the rest. And that's boilerplate code over and over again. And this new syntax here just allows me to say, this is all I care about. Just give me those variables.
And that was very intentional, right? Before we had basically a callback that had lots of different things that we kept on appending to the parameters we could return back. And so we've got to go and collapse this all into some object to return.
Sure.
And so we went with basically a very flat object, and then we go with object deconstruction. So you can still grab just the one you want.
Okay.
But the nice thing with this is previously you'd have had to go through there and create an argument for like your body that you got back.
Sure.
If you only wanted the headers object, you'd have to basically just create that and then throw it away. You never do anything. In this case, you'll only grab headers.
Okay, so I write a lot of Node.js, but I'm embarrassed to admit that I've never seen this before. Should I be embarrassed that I've never seen this before? Is this new?
Not really at all. This was one of those things that came out with ES6, I believe.
Okay.
And you saw it a lot more with kind of the other way around, where libraries would go ahead and use this internally for doing things. But you do want to take a look at some of the interesting things you can do with this in JavaScript. For instance, if you were used to using object.assign to go ahead and new up an object so that way you've got two different references to the same content in an object.
Sure.
The new way of doing that is to actually go through and do object destructuring into an object like this.
Gotcha.
So that would be like bracket dot 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 my existing object. And that'll give you a new clone of that object with all the same properties.
Yeah,
but it's a shallow clone. So if you have any like nested properties, you have to remember to do a deep clone, and that'll probably involve some jQuery library you don't write.
Absolutely. But no, it's really cool to see how, like you said, in just that one little screen real estate, I was able to get so much done using the new API. So tell me some other new things about the API as well, or the SDK.
Yeah, so one of the other things we're doing is we're trying out some pretty advanced things inside of JavaScript and trying to kind of keep the cutting edge inside of the library, though it's optional to use these things.
Got it.
So for instance, before you would go ahead and call query iterator for each, and that would allow you to iterate over a bunch of different items.
Sure.
The problem with that was it was a callback-based system, and of course, that's going to go ahead and lead to issues where you've got to return a promise, call the callback at the right moment, and we all screw that up, and then get that little error saying, unhandled promise exception, you're a bad person.
Exactly.
at least that's what I have it overwritten to in my Node environment. That's what I think. That's what I see. You know, we really wanted to go and find every single one of those cases where we were using callbacks, what could we do? And you can't really do just a promise for for each, right? Because you want to iterate over the items.
Sure.
But that's where async iterators came to the rescue. In this case, it's actually using TypeScript. And one of the things we did when we started to change the SDK is that we actually started by just taking the entire code base and converting it to TypeScript.
Okay.
And if you go into our GitHub, you can actually go and see the results of the arduous process. I think it was like 50,000 lines of code touched. Wow. In the end, we ended up deleting a lot of code, which is great.
So yeah.
Big props for moving to TypeScript, as you can just remove a lot of code.
Nice.
And of course, it gave us a lot of type checking. We found bugs in the old SDK thanks to the TypeScript stuff.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who actually run their pure JavaScript through the TypeScript compiler, even though it's not TypeScript, to find a lot of those weird little bugs.
Exactly.
So it's a really cool experience and exercise to go through and find those little edges. But this right here, what I liked what you just said is that you don't have to use these cool new features, right? If your code was already written, refactoring it doesn't mean I have to go to the latest and greatest bleeding edge JavaScript technology and try to learn and catch up. I can still do it the way I did it before and it'll still work, but it'll work better. And if you're ready, then you can go off right to the bleeding edge and you're ready for them as well.
Exactly. Like using for this feature right here is called async iterators.
Okay.
And one of the tricks to using them today is if you want to use them in JavaScript, you've got to use some bleeding edge version of one of the JavaScript engines out there and set a bunch of flags and things along those lines.
Gotcha.
TypeScript is like, yeah, we can make that work for you, and it'll go through there and create kind of a shim implementation for it for you when you build. But it still looks for the symbol dot async iterator property existing on your iterator you pass in.
Okay.
And so you actually have to set an iterator global. If you're on an older version of Node, it still works from Node 6 and beyond.
Okay.
But you got to go and set like some global symbols to make sure things work. There's some like polyfills you do even in Node to make this work.
Gotcha.
So it's really pretty far out there for a lot of people. When I did a poll for what versions of Node people were on, it was Node 8. And Node 8 doesn't support this. So like this is looking towards Node 10 and what's going to be beyond there. But you know, we want to go ahead and kind of keep pushing that edge with this SDK, and this is really us trying to do that, not for Cosmos, not only for Cosmos, but we're actually sharing a lot of these ideas with the other folks here at Microsoft to bring all of the Node SDKs kind of to the same kind of like bleeding edge standard.
So I've seen a lot of changes in the SDK, like the landscape and the way that you use in the syntax. Were there any other changes like perf or security or anything else that was done to the SDK as well?
For the most part, it ended up being relatively clean. One of the things we did is we, thanks to moving to TypeScript, it was a lot easier to refactor things.
Sure.
And so the original SDK, when they had first written it, was actually quite simple. It was basically just calling a couple of REST methods.
Okay.
Then they added query in there, and query is a very complex beast. The other thing they did is they had a flat structure. So one of the things that that might be really attractive to people who are using the old SDK is you'll never see inside of any of this code a URL. And today with Cosmos DB libraries, all of them across things, not just JavaScript but also .NET, Java, etc. They actually have to pass in a URL.
Okay.
And so you have to go construct this URL, know what the structure of the URL is for Cosmos. And like, it's relatively easy. It's databases, collections, documents. But why have the overhead? So what we did is we actually created this kind of hierarchy model inside of the SDK. So like if we go down here to the first method that we call init. And we've got this create if not exist method. This is also great because in Node.js you'd have had to do this before yourself, where you basically try to read the database, and if it failed, then go and create it.
Okay.
We actually just had this because when we were doing user testing, we found everyone struggled to figure out how to make this work. And by adding this method, everyone succeeded in our user test.
Oh, so, awesome.
Like, this is one of those like really good things that came from testing with users early on as we were designing the SDK.
Okay.
From here, we actually go ahead and grab the database object directly. And this is a database object that now has a reference to itself, really. So here, when I type database, I can actually see there is a URL. We still expose it as a public property in case, for some reason, you wanted to include that in your logging. We didn't want to break too many existing models.
Sure.
But basically, you don't ever have to construct that URL. It's constructed from the object itself. So this is a read-only property.
Right. Does this still follow the pattern that you just said, that you don't have to use it? If I were to upgrade to the latest version of the SDK, would my code that was using the full URLs break?
Yeah, for the most, it would. Okay, so in this case, we did move you towards this builder pattern. So if you will eventually have to kind of move away from those URLs.
Okay.
But that's somewhat intentional. Like
sure.
The URLs themselves end up adding overhead, like you having to construct strings and stuff that we know that we don't want people to have to do, right?
Got it.
If you go and do a perf test on any piece of code, it's the string manipulation that ends up cutting most of the time.
Got it.
So we kind of do that internally now, so you never actually have to think about what's the right way of doing that yourself.
Okay, cool.
And then that's constructed all the way down end. So you'll never actually see us construct a URL for any of these items that we're trying to update. You can see us, we get back You know, in this sample, you can go and look at it. This is a sample of all the different types of methods you can do to an item.
Okay.
And so in this case, we've got you know, making sure that everything exists. We're doing the same kind of destructuring thing here. You can see that VS Code is giving us this nice little hint that we don't need database, so I could go ahead and remove this.
Ah, I see, because you were never referencing it below.
Yeah, so VS Code just makes, I gotta say, VS Code, it saved me months of time.
It's brilliant.
Doing this. It just works so brilliant.
Well. Freaking brilliant, yes, agreed.
Inside of this, I'm basically going through there and creating items. I'm pushing all these things into an array, and then I can go through there and do an await on promise.all for all of them. So I can go ahead and do a bunch of parallel inserts and await for all of them. And with promises, that's easy.
Sure.
No more having to use async to paralyze a bunch of different work. Then we go ahead and we can read all those items back out. And then in this case, we're kind of using the old school model. We didn't want the samples to kind of push people too hard. So we have the technology, we have that kind of like bleeding edge stuff inside of the code.
Yep.
But all of our samples are still trying to play more of a middle ground where like object destructuring, it looks nice. So we're trying to like push people towards
that. Yeah.
But like, you know, 408 has a big overhead still. And you have to use TypeScript to, for the most part, to make it work.
Okay.
So
got it.
No, here we're staying away from that. But then, you know, I get a reference to an item. I can go through there and just kind of do container.item to get a reference.
Okay.
And then I can go ahead and do item fixme.read. And now I have the definition of the item that I read.
Got
and
it.
Then if I wanted to update the item, I can then go through there and try to read it with an access condition. And those things are now here on the read properties. So like all this stuff used to kind of be like one big long line. You'd have like five different arguments you'd pass into the method. And one kind of like design goal we had was, could we construct a SDK where most methods take one parameter? We didn't want you to have to like have five different arguments.
Sure.
Those are really hard to kind of read. We wanted the code to kind of read like it was behaving, not having to parse every little line of code. We wanted you to just look at the method and know what was happening.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at this code and thinking, I have a lot of refactoring to do of my own my own JavaScript, because this is much cleaner and simpler. Like you said, simpler to read, simpler to digest, which is going to make me more efficient.
Yeah,
and not having to come through.
You know, we definitely learned a lot from doing the conversion. It was, you know, I think the code base is around 50,000 lines of code when we started, and you know, had to go through each one of those things, figure out how to go and break that up into the right components. After we'd converted everything, we then started to do refactoring. So we kind of took out this giant middle layer that used to exist in the SDK and completely refactored it so it's no longer there.
Oh, wow.
And that was, once again, because of VS Code and TypeScript, that was easy. It was a lot of F2s.
Gotcha.
It was really great.
Nice. Well, this is really cool and exciting stuff. And actually, I'm going to be distracted this afternoon because I'm actually going to go start playing with a lot of this and go refactor a lot of my code. But it's cool to see how our SDKs are making sure that they're not behind and that they're actually leading the charge and actually helping shape the future of a lot of what we're doing. And the fact that it's open source, just I say this all the time, that this is not your daddy's Microsoft, right? This is amazing that we're taking this incredible technology and we're just giving it to everyone so they can help us improve it and they can see exactly how it's written and use a lot of these same patterns like I'm going to go do in the code that I write for myself.
The last 4 years here at Microsoft, I haven't written a line of closed source code.
I think I'd have to agree with you. I think everything I have is in GitHub right now, too. And everything that I'm working on is taking pull requests from the public, which is fantastic. So thank you so much for showing us all this stuff. We're learning all about the new Azure Cosmos DB JavaScript SDK here on Azure Friday.